Welcome, everyone, to the Non-Pro Book Club as we read V.E. Schwab's A Darker Shade of Magic. If you haven't heard our introductory episodes, boy, do you have a lot to catch up on. There's a couple out there. Just click on the related links and you'll get them all. This is it. This is our last book club for A Darker Shade of Magic. We're going to spoil the whole thing. And boy, was it an adventurous ride.
Hot garbage. No, I'm kidding.
What a horrible way to start. Hot garbage.
I liked it.
Yeah. Gwen, you are howling in the distance. What did you think? Did you enjoy the book?
I did. I really liked it. I'm excited for how it set up the next book, which is something that I know James talked about earlier. Like, this book is going to set up Lila's adventure kind of thing.
It's actually the only thing that annoyed me is how right I was from like our second episode. I'm like, I feel like this book's going to be Kel's story and it's going to be okay. But like this whole quadrilogy, or I don't know how many,
to
37
be clear,
books
listeners,
it has.
He's mocking his own voice.
Yeah.
I'm a mealy mouth.
However many books it has in this, they're going to essentially be Lila's story, right? But this, we're going to get a lot of Kel. This book can hopefully springboard into more Lila going forward.
Yeah. I think that's definitely pretty clear. Krista, what did you think of this book? We're going to get a blanket feelings from everyone.
I mean, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much. I got the next one.
So many people are well into their second book. We are the slowest book club. I'm partially to blame for that, for not organizing it a little bit better. But hey, some of us read a little slower.
No, for the most part, it's because I needed something to read. I was going on vacation and I needed something to read and I wanted to know how the story continued. So that's why I did it. Not because we're too slow.
Oh, okay, good. We are.
I tried to get the next book, but my library doesn't have it in ebook form. They only have it in like digital audio, whatever. I don't know. And I prefer to read than to listen because I can tear through an ebook, but an audiobook I'm required to give it the 20 whatever hours it actually took for them to record.
That is a good point. I haven't actually looked for it to see if my local library. We'll report at the end when we decide what we're going to be doing next. Michelle, what did you think?
Frank, I'm pretty sure your local library has it.
Oh, really?
Because mine doesn't. And it said, oh, look at this other local library nearby that you don't have.
Oh, was there a picture of me looking all smug?
Yeah, it was just a picture of Frank on their website with holding the second book being like, reading and Michelle's not.
I was wondering why they were doing that photo op, but yeah, now it makes sense. It definitely makes sense. What did you think of the book?
Overall, I really liked it. I was kind of didn't expect it to be Lila as the protagonist at the end, but then by the time you get to the end, you're like, yep, nope, this is definitely her story, and Kel is just part of the plot.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, I...
For the ride.
Yeah, 100% there
he
for the ride.
He was the ride.
Oh, hey. we're not doing this. But, I absolutely, like, I really enjoyed the story, and I'm not saying that Kel should have been removed from the plot.
Just get rid of him.
He was necessary.
He was necessary in the same way that, like,
Your car is necessary to get to work.
Exactly.
Wow.
Those are really hard things.
Maybe she could have found public transit.
Yeah. She could have found a magical novel.
Wait, no.
Is she a fish in need of a bicycle? Is that what we're saying here?
Wow.
She probably could have traveled without him. Eyeball.
The eyeball was just like, I was at that point, I was like, well, she could literally have found a book that explained most of what Kel explained. It would have been fine. There would have been a little bit less, like, kissing.
Look, you can't get rid of Kel because it gets rid of the best character in the novel, which is Rye.
Rye is pretty awesome, yeah. So this is a very weird story where, kind of taken from the page of, I don't know, I guess like Star Wars, where the most interesting characters are not what you would classically consider the main character or the hero in the story.
Yeah, I like Kel. I just feel like, and it's not an offense to the book, but he just feels like such a stereotypical protagonist in some way. He gets all of the main story beats. We just don't play with that archetype at all with him, as compared to we do with like a bunch of the other characters around him, right? With, you know, with Rye or with Lila or even the one guy who was waiting by the what do you call it? The shop or the bar?
For,
yeah.
Ned. Everybody's Ned.
I would write so for much him fan to return. Fiction for Ned.
Like she, V.E. Schwab seems to be willing to experiment, but not with the main vehicle that's driving the story forward, which, I mean, is fine, but hopefully, you know, with a little more success, we get to experiment a little bit with that, too. I liked it, though. I like the characters. Yeah, I like the villains. Like I like the way the story worked.
I feel like, personally, I'm coming off a little bit more anti-Kel than I really feel. I was surprised how much I liked Lila and was willing to go along with her wherever she was going. In a way, a lot like Kel. I was surprised by how much, like, you know, this kid's still around. All right, cool. Let's see what happens next. All right, so we should talk about some of our highlights and some of the things we think are what's the purpose of this story? And it's the purpose, I think, of any good Portal fantasy, which is pulling someone from their mundane existence and throwing them into this ridiculous magical world where vague ideas of classism and Marxism and a lot of other things we discussed in our pilot episode exist, and how do they survive and thrive in that situation. For the most part, I think I got pulled away by the adventure. I'm not sure how much it delivered on the whole, the world of the haves and the have-nots. There are a few key moments here and there, mostly with Lila in Red London, overwhelmed by everything. But, you know, when Lila makes it to White London, it's not like she's like, you know, this is kind of close to home. It still seems like Danger Zone, Mad Max London for her. I don't know if any of those kind of big story points really delivered.
I feel like we didn't get enough of Lila in White London. We, in fact, we're trying to say things we liked, but at sour point, Lila in White London in general is a big sour point for me. We really kind of don't get to see her fight, right, a bunch of those guys when she lands, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We flash away and then, you know, we don't get to experience it. They run right to the castle. I was really expecting her to have an awesome fight with the sister.
Yeah, that.
Astrid.
Astrid.
And she didn't get her, you know, her ass handed to her, but she doesn't win that fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't come out on top or even do something that essentially was like the, yeah, she didn't win, but you got her in the heel, which is what allowed Kel to come in and do the thing.
One of my notes, and it feels a little bouncy around right now the way we're doing this, but when you're done reading something, you just want to go all over everything. And one of my notes is Lila should have gotten the kill.
Yeah.
It seems like she should have gotten Astrid. That kill was her. It was hers in all but name. Astrid literally just shows up a few minutes later.
And now we have everybody talking about Game of Thrones and who should have killed the Night King.
Yeah,
who deserved that kill?
Yeah, there is a little bit of that, only I feel like the people complaining about Game of Thrones, which we will not spoil just in case, are wrong and wrong-hearted, and Lila deserved this kill. Read my blog, damn it. What about, Chris, what do you think about sort of the promise of what this book could have been and whether or not it delivered for you?
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. It was a good enough adventure story. And I think if you're looking for the typical Portal story, this is just the beginning, right? So this was a prelude to bringing Lila into Red London, White London. And so now we're going to get to see what happens next. I'm not sure that I agree that she should have gotten the kill, because she's coming from a world where she doesn't have any magic, and she's up against these folks who have been practicing magic their whole lives. But at the same time, I think she could have done something more. I think James is right that she could have been given a bigger moment. Even if she didn't get the kill, she could have had something more spectacular that she did. I mean, she's smart, she's capable, she could have figured something out.
Michelle, you're nodding vigorously.
I feel like it would have been really unrealistic if Lila would have been able to storm the castle, go in, and kill this all-powerful queen-like person without any help. I feel like we could have gotten both, though. I feel like we could have maybe if Kel threw like an assistant or something and was able to magically disarm her, and it came down to just skill set, like physically and not magic.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Then we could have seen.
I could definitely see that. And I can't.
I was okay with the way it went down.
Yeah, you enjoyed it, Gwen?
I liked it. I was happy with it. I think again, that, you know, knowing it's the first book in a series, it's not the whole story. I think that there's a lot of room for growth in our characters right now, and there's a lot of room to see what's going to happen as she does sort of take in this world of magic around her and become more familiar and sort of learn the rules a little bit more. And she'll be able to apply her skill set more effectively once she like really knows what she's up against in this kind of situation. So it didn't bother me that she wasn't like coming in and walking out victorious with her enemies falling behind her, you know?
I think I agree to some extent, but I just don't want this to fall into a pattern that other fantasy books have where just so much of it is left. Well, this is part of the larger story. This is part of the larger story, right? Like, I mean, and I love me some R.A. Salvatore, and I've read all 30 million Dritz books, but sometimes it's like, book one and
sometimes
two.
Sometimes a book does need to be self-contained. Well, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can read like book one and two of a thing, and it doesn't even feel like I've gotten the complete story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, and I think it has to be a balance. And I'm the young adult reader noob here, I guess, because I was like, well, why isn't the story completely? Why are we always making our voices in the worst way possible? Why is the story always bad? That's exactly my voice. I didn't think it was bad. I was surprised by how much I'm like, oh, well, now I'm going to have to. And I think one of the reasons why when we were originally suggesting this book, some of our, experienced readers are like, huh, you're going to read a young adult fiction, series? I'm like, no, a book. And they're like, yeah, series.
It's a series.
You're going to read the series. That's what kind of threw me off. Oh, don't you talk, Gwen. You're an
addict. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I went away to my grandmother's lake house and I plowed through 3 young adult fantasy novels with my uninterrupted lakeside reading time. So, like, I'm down to plow through the rest of these.
I want to tell Gwen something on mic, but it's unfortunately a Stranger Things spoiler, so I'm not going to do it.
No more.
After mic, yeah, I'm definitely gonna tell you this at some point. Put aside the young adult the fantasy noobness. I guess my last thing, you're absolutely right. Having Lila just sort of win because she's so badass is a little bit of fan service on my part. But I do think there was something in there. I think maybe it was that Kel dispatched Astrid so easily.
Quickly, yeah.
When she just showed up enough to be like, Quell going, you're stone now. Which I think is related to my other concern with this. And I want to actually ask what people felt with regards to that. How was it referred to? Was the shadow creatures, does anyone remember?
So
how they're referred to in the book? They are referred to very late in the book by a specific thing, and I cannot remember what they are. The shadow, the burned.
Oh, the things that it like sucks.
Is it like Ventari?
Ventari is the name. That's even better. That's the name of the antagonist we didn't know was there the entire time.
So,
the spirit of magic that is effectively the stone that's been the MacGuffin of this whole thing.
I had no idea that they were related to the stone or anything like that. And literally until they disappeared when the stone went away. I'm like, what?
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad it wasn't just me. I knew they were related. I knew that the creatures were being infected, and it's kind of like a zombie story, kind of like an evasion of the Body Snatchers deal. It's been a creepy underbeat for at least about the back half of the book, maybe the back three quarters of the book. And it really got me. I was really excited about it because I'm like, what is this? Is this Black London made manifest trying to invade the other Londons?
It's magic manifesting.
I feel like Kel even mentioned it before that magic leaves traces. So it's kind of like that stone is so strong that I feel like the first time we see someone that's kind of like infected with whatever it is in Grey London after Lila leaves.
Yeah.
So she's the one that, I guess, she wasn't patient zero, but she caused it to be.
Yeah, she definitely.
Right.
She's the lab tech that left something out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, I like this metaphor. Keep going with it.
All right.
I thought it was very interesting and creepy, but I don't know if the payoff was there for me, especially when it resolves with Kel facing off with another final boss, which is the Vintari, that spirit of magic, which I'm actually okay with. I think that was pretty okay. But it resolves so matter-of-factly that effectively anybody who was infected by this is either dead because they've been burned out, or they were infected very early on and they're going to be okay. That seemed to me, like, I can't imagine how this thread gets picked up in the next book. Lila, sure, I'm sure this is 100% her origin story before she becomes a super adventurer. The next book, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be focused on that Blackstone and the effects of Black London. Black London is still a complete mystery to me. And that I was shocked by or surprised by.
I'm looking forward to reading more about that and finding out, like, I assume that Holland is, you know, alive in Black London doing whatever Holland does.
Yeah.
It's hard to kill one of the
Antari.
Yeah.
So he's not dead when his body goes through. So I assume that we'll pick up that thread with him in Black London at some point in the future. Because I hope we will. Otherwise, it's like, what was the point of that?
Right. I want to touch on two of my favorite parts of the book.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Gwen for talking me off the edge, because I think that is pretty good. I couldn't imagine how this Black London thread gets picked up again, but there is pretty, I mean, it's a pretty blatant one with a living, one of the last two Antari damaged.
Well, we don't know that.
As far as we know, except somebody with a missing eye, which was also kind of like, when that happened, when she's like, oh yeah, my glass eye, and did I mention that? I'm like, you, I like you a lot.
That's the thing that, like, made Andy, my husband, like, he just lost it. He's like, I hate when authors drop in stuff like that, but there's no previous mention of it in the entire book. No one ever says anything about her one eye, and she doesn't seem impaired at all, and blah, well, blah, 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 blah.
I had the conversation with Andy, though. I mean, you know, it was a good eye, and she's had it since she was a young kid. There'd be no real... Right. There'd be no real visible effects.
I have a serious question about this. Yeah. It's my lack of remembering. Did we know that Delilah had two colored eyes? Because she has one brown eye, one slightly darker brown, and I feel like that may have been part of her description early on. And to be honest, if so, that's enough for me.
Well, and also the fact that she hid that part of her face with her hair.
Good point. Yeah, also true. I mean, I think there might be some descriptions.
I don't think that it said that she had, like, different colored eyes. I think it just said brown, and the way that it's mentioned when it does come up is, like, it's the slightest of differences. But the hair thing, I think, is worth noting, that she does kind of bit
covering the being noticed. Face.
That would also, I think, make it seem less weird if she didn't notice something on that side of her, like, oh, her hair was in her face, you know, like, not that she couldn't see it because that eye isn't real, but because she's staring out from behind her bangs.
But I mean, really, it wouldn't hinder her at all, because there's nothing there anyway.
No, it wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. I'm sorry, James, you were about to say something.
So I'm quadrupling down on Ryan Kelly. I really love the story where we learn about how Kel had saved Rye and how he kind of came into his powers and all of that, you know, really used his teleporting to find somebody. I thought that story is really beautiful, and it added a lot to it, because originally when Rye gets hurt, I'm kind of like, do I know Rye well enough to be like that concerned about him? But I think that bit of storytelling was really beautifully done by the author to really, you know, to kind of make their relationship very strong in a way that I didn't feel like, you know, not that I didn't feel earlier, but in a way that just, like, nails it home. And then, despite the fact that we've been complaining about Kel, there's a bit of a subtle bit in there that really legitimizes him when the king and the queen are looking for Rye and they say, where's our son?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's excellent.
I literally, it's like, oh, well, no.
But it does. It you know, Kel's got, you know, all this angst, and we're like, how much of this is just, you know, teenage angst, you know, oh, mom and dad hate me because I'm the adopted one, as compared to, you know, like, oh, James, no, they really don't.
James's mocking Kel voice is the same as his mocking his own voice. But, oh, so good.
But, you know, it just, I think that adds an extra layer that I'm excited about, because I think it's clear that there'll be some conflict between, you know, the worlds, or in a way where I think Kel will have to be given up, and I think it'll be no questions asked for the king and queen. They'll be like, well, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. And I don't know, I just, like, a weird little tag, and I'm not trying to, you know, disagree with you, but I do really like how the royal family in Red London, and almost everyone in Red London who isn't, like, possessed by someone from White London, is, like, chill. A little bit chill, right? Because even when, like, this all comes out and there's a bunch of material and, like, they endangering everybody, they're all like, okay, I don't know who this Lila person is. Clearly there's a story going on. Everyone go to the room. Everybody heal up a little bit. We're going to talk about this in the morning. And I'm like, that is such suburban.
Well, it's like that flower scent must be something.
Yeah, it's interesting. The world building is really solid here.
It's got to be easy to be chill when life is so good. We're back to the Marxist stuff, right? Like, London is thriving. It's a good place to be. So, like, what's the worst that could happen?
Right. Well, they're steeped in their privilege, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, theoretically, we're what? In the capital castle town of Red London? You know, there's an entire country out there that,
there's an
who
entire
knows?
World out there.
Oh, yeah. Just consider the fact how many people died in that couple of days in Red London. So, actually, yeah, would you look at my points of everybody's so chill and relaxed? Like, oh, yeah, I guess when servants are the ones dying, you can afford to be like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Just sleep
just a
it
couple
off.
Guards.
We have a whole empire.
Yeah.
No need to worry.
All right. So, Krista, you had a point you wanted to bring up before.
James kind of hinted at it, and maybe you said it, but I didn't hear. But am I stating the obvious when thinking that Lila is clearly another Antari?
Yes. That is what I think. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a great fake out if she's something else magical?
Oh, that would be really cool, but I don't think that's where we're going.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be that satisfying if you right. in the air of the I didn't tell you you had a missing eye or something, like it feels a little bit like, well, you keep making up magical nonsense, of course. You know, I like that we're being led to believe there's a chance she's an Antari for a bunch of circumstantial things that are really cool.
I feel like there's been too much focus on the whole, oh, there's only two of us and it's all random and we're a dying breed, for her to not end up being an Antari.
Especially with Holland gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potentially gone. We'll see.
Yeah. Holland hopefully coming back as our lead bad guy. Or Black London person.
Spooky. I don't know.
Yeah, spooky Holland. What other little tidbits did we all pull from this read?
Whatever happened to Ned?
I don't think we're
plot
ever...
hole. Plot hole.
Right?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah.
Ned.
You didn't hear about the Ned spinoff series?
No, I didn't.
Oh my
is
God.
An HBO special.
It really... The showrunners for Game of Thrones are back at it. And this is it's everything's coming up Ned is what the name of the show is. It's gonna be awesome. God, you know, I'm so stupid. In my notes, I actually have Holland's death seems simple. And I'm like, you fool.
That's
if only
he's not dead.
Yeah,
he's not dead.
If only I had picked up the phone and called Gwen, and she would have explained to me that I was a fool. Yes.
He still, like, has very, very shallow breath. It's hard to kill one of those Antari, man.
For those of us who are role players, who play tabletop role-playing games, there's a lot of moments in this series that I feel like... This is gamer logic. Mm-hmm. One of them was putting the cursed magic stone in Holland's unconscious hand and shoving him through a dimensional doorway, hoping his body would handle it.
I think I've literally done that in a D&D game.
I have sent so many corpses or near corpses through Portal. Just look at somebody else handle this. This is awful.
Someone else's problem now?
Oh, yeah, but God. You know, even if Kel had gone the extra mile and decapitated him.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think that stone couldn't have brought him back?
As soon as it gets to Black London, it gets its powers back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that there's so many good places it could go.
What would be the point of killing him, like properly killing him? Like, what is there to gain at this point?
You have to double tap.
Yeah,
this is a very clear gamer logic thing. I think
Kristen and I are just going right into
him. If you want to make sure somebody's dead, you need to make sure they're dead.
That's right. Because the GM is a cheater, and you got to make sure. Right. Yeah. But no.
To make him like, was that actually the goal, to kill him proper, or was the goal to get him not to kill you?
We need,
like, those are different things in my mind.
We desperately need to get Gwen in a role-playing game, because I could just hear her being like, do we really want to kill everybody in there? Oh, yeah, well, no, we already did it. I don't know if we wanted to.
Where have you been?
It's what happened.
Well, you were talking philosophical about it. The rogue just slaughtered everyone. So, yeah.
As you ask the party, do we really need to kill everybody? People have already rolled initiative and everyone's dead.
Look, they're the bad guys. They have all the signifiers.
Yeah.
Kill, 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 kill.
Yep.
So, like, this is pretty obvious that I am not that kind of gamer.
No, no. Well, I mean, there's a lot of...
Let's play Scrabble. It'll be fun, kind of.
Full contact Scrabble. Yeah, I think there's... obviously, we're being a little unfair to the stereotypical gamer out there. But there are moments like this. And one of the ones that I actually think was beautiful, just as a moment in general, whether or not you're a gamer, is the way Lila steals the knife from the shop. Because she really wants this knife, and then she's trying to reason, because she is not magical. She has no idea what the rules are or how it works. She's just warned that it's a really dangerous thing to do. It's been warded against theft. So she takes the knife after that, and she kind of reasons, like, well, the shop owner's dead. Can you really steal from the dead? And then she just sort of kicks it past the doorway, and I'm like, girl, you are my favorite character. You are my favorite character. That is awesome. I love that. And also later on when she's scratching the decals out with that knife.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this is all the best harebrained schemes that work for some reason. I love absolute favorite moments of the narrative for me.
I hope she paid that shop owner back with her winnings.
I think that'll come in the, that'll probably come in one of the other books.
Yep.
Makes sense.
We're going to talk about Lila moments we like. I like her getting dressed up for the masquerade.
Very nice.
Usually you get the whole, like, makeover scene, and it's like, beautiful ball gown, and I'm so pretty, and look how gorgeous I am. She's like, I look like a pirate king. This is sweet. And I loved that.
That's the cosplaying I want to see happen. We started this off, this podcast off, saying Kel and his peculiar coat.
Forget Kel and his six-layer coat. I want to dress up as Lila, the pirate king, for sure.
Absolutely. Michelle, do you have a favorite moment or something you would like to pull out?
Lila probably looked better in the coat.
Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%. Definitely. When she was wearing that coat? Yeah. That's why Rye was looking at her so much. It was like, damn. How about that? All right, I'm going to go right into young adult. Rye and Lila. Do you ship it?
No.
I ship it.
No.
I ship the hell out of it.
No way.
No.
No way.
No way.
Okay, why? What? We got
She's too cool for him.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, this is a...
He's just a flirt. We have heard before he likes the people, not even necessarily the ladies, just the people, the attractive one. And that she's cute. That's it.
He's a player.
Yeah. Well, you're all saying no, like she's looking for her one true love.
Kel.
Maybe she wants to play too.
She has way more interesting things to do than get involved in a romance with some pretty boy.
I agree.
That's the boringest thing she could possibly do.
She wants to be like a pirate king. She doesn't have time to be getting romantic with a prince right
now. If he wants to chase her out.
Listen, pirate kings have hookups in every port and I'm thinking she has a hookup in this part. I think you are all looking at this way too much.
Non-monogamous relationship, I'm fine with that.
Rye is definitely drooling after her 100%. I mean, that's what happens in the fiction. I'm not even making that up.
I'm still resisting the whole relationship thing in general. I mean, I know it's a futile attempt. I'm still totally against it.
I was the one person on your side, and I've abandoned
young
ship.
Adult novel.
That not bring like or will like leverage that attraction for her own gain. Having a prince who likes you is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I feel like there just so that I mean I agree 100% with Chris as originally like I'm kind of over every relationship having to be a romantic relationship, but if there was something that's going to be forced or if it exists at all in the narrative, I kind of like the idea where we flip it around that it's not the protagonist and the other protagonists falling in love, because of course they do. It's a young adult fiction. I think it may be cuter to have the cad.
The best friend is Harry Potter.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, I guess Harry Potter hits that too, but only barely. I don't even remember. Was Ron in the books actually, or was he just made up for the movie? I want your letters. God. I want your angry letters.
His whole family.
You send me your angry letters.
You are poking the bear, my friend.
Ron, was he like?
To poke the bear that is the Harry Potter fandom.
He was like, Ron is the least important Weasley. I will agree.
Right, exactly.
But
least important character, Ron.
No, Weasley. No, least important
also,
Weasley.
But also character. Okay, cool. So send me your mail.
He does
send
make a mess
hate mail.
A lot.
Send it. Send it to me. Care of, I am not going to read it.
He was also just a vessel. He's also a bicycle. All these redheads, they're just bicycles.
These are the worst terms. I love it.
I am so... Oh, boy.
Ooh, yeah. 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 Okay. So, I literally lost track of what we were talking about.
Do we have any... I don't know if we're going to go right into the next book, but if we could make up or say one thing we wanted to see in the next book to wrap us up, I think that's a good way to go out. Talking about the future.
I think that's pretty good. I mean, I really enjoyed this read. It was, we've called it an adventure story early on, and then I feel like it almost seemed like we were being dismissive of it, or at least I was being dismissive. I'm not at all. Like, I had fun reading it, and that's what I want from a fantasy book. There are other elements in there that I kind of wish get tugged on. So what I would like to see in the next part of the story is I'd like to be full in on Lila and her adventuring and seeing how exotic and strange all these other Londons are and what that makes her feel about home. Because like the tradition is that when a hero leaves home, part of them always wants to come back. I don't need Lila to want to come back to Grey London and be like, oh, I should have stayed, you know, poor and destitute. I don't need that, but some sort of concept of I see where, you know, middle of the road was better than red or white. And also, just to throw in another one, because I'm greedy that way, I'd like to see, I want Black London to be more of an obvious threat in some way, and not just this kind of place where bad things happened. Michelle?
I'm curious to see what happens in White London now that they no longer have a king and queen.
Ooh.
So, another power struggle. I wonder if they're going to try and block off White London like they did to Black London, and then continuously strain the relationship between the Londons because of that.
Ooh, every London's going to be eventually cut off entirely.
Yeah.
Maybe. Interesting. All right. Gwen, what do you want to see?
I'm sort of with you on the Black London front. I want to find out about Holland and Black London and what's going on there. And I also, just because I like Lila, I want to see her on her pirate ship sailing around and doing stuff and having the life that she wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. Krista, what do you want to see?
What you guys said, but also I want to see some real fallout from the what happened in Red London. Like, you were talking about the fact that the royal family was so chill. I want there to be no chill. Right?
Yeah.
I want to see some unchill. So yeah. I'm hoping that we get some of that, like some real after effects. I just don't want it to get glossed over. I'm afraid that with the chill attitude that the author may just sort of let all of that slide, right?
Yeah, no, I could
totally. That's not what I want to see.
I could totally see that being an issue. It affects the concept of stakes when, you know, everything kind of just like, oh, we woke up. I even was wondering, like, what did anyone even know? I mean, obviously Red London skews it away as, I think, the black, some sort of plague, some shadow plague. I can't remember what they called it. But yeah, we got to see some stakes from what actually happened. All right, James, yeah. You led us on this. What do you want to see?
I definitely think I want to see larger involvement from some of the side characters, right? With Rai connected directly to Kel, it's going to be real hard for Kel to be like, well, you stay here while I go off adventuring. I'm like, not with half my life, you don't, you know, like.
oh, that's right? Very accurate. And, we didn't even talk about the life pact and all. Oh, yeah. Oh man.
So not, that, and but there detailed. Were a lot of other really neat side characters. And, you know, I think I hopefully with Lila getting her own pirate ship, maybe we get a couple of new side characters, like some of Lila's crew or something. Mm-hmm. That could be cool. I think Kel's master seemed like a really interesting character I'd like to return to, even though we didn't get a lot of him. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of interesting side characters, and I feel like it's clear that they mean a lot to this world, and I'd like to return to them. I don't want to just, like, introduce a couple of side characters and leave them, you know?
Yeah. In fact, of the threads that I'd like to see picked up, I'm not super interested in Kel's backstory. This sounds anti-Kel. It's not that. It's just like...
You're anti-Kel's fine.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just like, you know, all right, he has a mysterious past and he was left as an orphan in some... Yeah, okay. I'm sure wherever it is going to be someone...
He'll get there with his backstory. I'm not, like, worried about that.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's maybe a better way of saying it. I'm not worried about it. It's coming up. I don't really need to... I'm kind of curious about Delilah, but I'm almost like I'm okay with just seeing where she's going and finding out less about where she came from and why she, you know, lost an eye. I feel like if that is never expressly revealed, but maybe she does start gaining magical powers, I'm okay with that too. I guess the only threads I'm like, really, really interested in finding out more about is what's going on with Mad King George. That guy was captivating as hell. No, I guess a little bit, but also like, what are the relationships between the various Londons outside or the various worlds outside of London itself? I think that could be really cool to find out more about. So speaking of finding out more, we are at the end of our book club. Do we want to continue reading this series?
Yes!
Or do we want to try something new?
We're stuck now. So, it's like you got caught in a riptide.
I kind of think that it would be fun to do something new, but I'm also 100% going to track down the next book and read it. Maybe we do like a check-in on the next book after we've read the whole thing as opposed to as frequently as we did with this one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. I like the idea of picking up a new book and maybe doing that for actual recording and as a big project, but having continued conversations online in our Discord and various other groups about what we're reading in this Darker Shade of Magic series.
That sounds great.
Get together after the second book.
That's
and
right.
Just talk about the whole book.
And then as those channels start buzzing with alerts, we know, oh man, we got to start reading faster. Everybody else is already at third book. And they find out that the secret is that Rai was a ghost the entire time. That's it.
It was all a dream.
It was all a dream. It was all
JR woke up.
Oh, Patrick Duffy
was
in
the
shower
the whole time.
We have referenced JR getting shot so much in the last few months of 2019. I write your letters. Write your damn letters. We're not going to stop. We will never stop making that reference. We hope you enjoyed Book Club. We hope you enjoyed this read. Please leave us some feedback on our podcast page or on social media where we talk to you, our listeners. This was all really exciting. Thank you, guys. Thanks for joining, doing this with me. I'm glad I had a group of people to read this book with.
Woo.
Yay.
Yeah,
yay.
It's been really fun.
Michelle seems distraught. Why are you distraught?
It doesn't have to do with book club.
Is this about our next podcast we're going to be recording?
A little bit.
For those of you who don't know and who can't read Neon Genesis Evangelion, you might as well join us on that too, because it's just awful. It's just awful. Oh my God, we're gonna hop over and do that next. But thank you for joining us on Book Club. To find out more, go to non-productive.com/bookclub and follow along as we pick what's next that we're gonna be reading.
Yeah.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.